We're also going to test the claims by looking at Jesus' teachings. This is probably the most widely known part of Jesus, is that he was a great teacher. I won't dispute that. Jesus was a great moral teacher. He was just an awful lot more. And we can actually see a hint of it in his teachings, because even those who don't know Jesus still quote his teachings today. I had a friend who once said, you know, Abraham Lincoln once said, a house divided against itself cannot fall. Must fall, and it cannot stand. There we go. And I kind of laughed. I thought, well, actually, he was quoting Jesus. Mm-hmm. Sure, Abe Lincoln might have said it, but Jesus said it before him. Happens all the time. People quote Jesus because something about his teachings just resonates in us. It makes sense, and it's challenging, yeah, but it connects with something deep inside us about who we were made to be, what we're meant to be. It just kind of fits in a way that, you know, we described as a God-shaped whole, right? Mm-hmm. Something about Jesus' teachings fits, and that's why they last through the ages, and they're quoted by people who care less about Jesus himself, because there is something compelling about them. But there's more than that. I remember when I was studying to be a minister, I took my Master's of Divinity, they call it. It's kind of a funny title, right? Because I just told you nobody should ever master God. And yet, I have a Master of Divinity. It's a terrible title for the degree. But as I was going into that, I read through the grading structure for what constitutes an A+, an A, a B, a C, and all that. Because they actually still use those grades. And I remember reading about the A+. I went right there for some reason. And it said an A+ was for work that was profound and creative, strong evidence of original thought. It's a really rare thing. Not a lot of people get A pluses in that school because very few people have original thoughts that are completely original to them, where a professor doesn't look at that and say, oh, I know who you're quoting. I know who you plagiarized. You know, good writing at that level often involves bringing together a whole bunch of different sources, quoting from this person, that person, bringing it all together in one document and making a new point with it, perhaps. And yet Jesus went around awing even his enemies. His enemies would say things like, he teaches as one with authority. They were used to good teachers in their day, quoting the teachers of the past. A good rabbi would go around saying, oh, Rabbi Gamaliel once said this, and Rabbi Herschel said this, and because, you know, all these rabbis said these things, here's what we should do today. A good rabbi did that. They brought together, synthesized all the teachers of the past, and maybe made a good point with it. But Jesus didn't do that. And that's what made his opponents angry. He taught as one with authority. He just went around making stuff up that people recognized as truth. He just said things. He didn't quote them, quote, you know, who he got it from. He just said it as if he just made up truth, as if he was the source of all truth, which he was. As he said them, people recognized him as good and true, and the only thing they could find fault with was his lack of citations. He wasn't footnoting the things he said, and that's because he didn't need to.
Source.
Yeah, me, right?
Me, creation.
Yeah. Now, could that have come from somebody who was an evil deceiver or mentally ill? That kind of teaching with that kind of authority? It's a good question. Well, we also need to look and say, does Jesus fit predictions? It was long predicted or prophesied in the Old Testament part of the Bible that God's anointed one or Messiah would come to the earth. These predictions are sometimes confusing, and they were intentionally vague. But they made a lot of sense when people looked back at Jesus' life and said, wait a minute, this life fit the predictions. In his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus fulfilled over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament. Now, we've got to test that out, right? Maybe he was a con artist who, you know, deliberately set out to fulfill those predictions. He read the Bible really carefully, figured out how he could do it, and said, oh, I got lucky enough to be born in the right city, and, you know, that was lucky, but now I can make the rest of them work in my favor. It'd be very difficult to do. the sheer number of prophecies makes it really difficult because, yeah, there were over 300 prophecies written over a span of 500 years, at least, by many, many people. And there are many, many copies of these books scattered around the world. Jesus fulfilled 29 prophecies in a single day, the day he died. Prophecies about what would happen, for example, as he was dying on the cross, people gambled for his clothes. That was a prophecy way back that would happen, and it happened. And the day you're executed isn't a day you have a lot of control over. Jesus was really just setting out to fulfill a bunch of predictions so people would think he was the Messiah. This was the last day when he could actually get that done. I can't really imagine Jesus on the cross calling down to the soldiers and saying, "Excuse me, sirs, if you wouldn't mind, could you please gamble for my clothing? Because if you do, people will think I'm God. I've got this thing going. They're this close. And if you just gamble for my clothes and do these, you know, 28 other things, then maybe they'll really think so. And my followers will get famous and, you know, write books and make a lot of money."
Then it'd definitely be mad.
Yeah.
It'd be mad, right? Oh. Because he's not going to die for the sake of this.
For the sake of the book deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. He's got nothing to gain at that point, right?
No.
Yeah. So very little control. You know, yes, some of these prophecies, Jesus, I guess if he wanted, could have doctored them. He could have made sure he went to this place or did this thing. But some of them he had no control over, and they were important ones. Now, another option here is that, you know, maybe Jesus or his friends went and edited the Bible so it would look like it was predicting him. Again, that's only easy for us to fathom because we have mass publishing industries, right? Where you could just change a word and print thousands of copies and spread them around the world. Wikipedia could be changed in an instant. Exactly, right? The problem was in Jesus' day, the scrolls containing these prophecies weren't collected together in a Bible like this yet. They were all individual, separate scrolls that had been hand-copied and passed around. And so there was no way to just change Wikipedia in one place so everybody would believe it. People had these individual documents that would all have to be changed at the same time if you're going to get away with it. And they'd all been memorized because not everybody had access to print material. And so people spent years, especially young Jewish men, spent years memorizing these words. They'd know if you changed it. It's very unlikely that Jesus had his followers go and, you know, edit the Bible to make it look like it was prophesying him. Well, our question for you to think about today has to do with Jesus' teaching with authority. What teaching of Jesus has most inspired or challenged you? Think back to the things you've been reading in the Gospel of John, or just things you've heard about Jesus or read elsewhere. What teachings of Jesus have most inspired or challenged you? Have a great one. We'll see you tomorrow.